Well, hello everyone, and greetings in the precious name of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ.
Friend, I thank God that he who bore the name Jesus Christ also bore my sins in his own body on the cross. Well, here we are again with another day of grace, and yet another opportunity to present the claims of Jesus Christ as the Savior of sinful men and women, boys and girls. And if there's anyone listening in today who has never been saved or born again by the Holy Spirit and God's Word, then I would strongly suggest that you stay tuned in, because I believe that God has caused you to listen to this program today. Yes, God is a loving God, and he wants you to be saved or born again. And friend, tomorrow may be too late. In Proverbs 27 and verse 1 we read, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." No, none of us are sure that our eyes will ever see the light of another day. Today, my friend, may be the date that will be on our tombstone as the date of our death. Listen, friend, 5,400 people die every hour. 130,000 people go into eternity every day. And over 47 million people go off into the great beyond every year. And furthermore, it's only the grace of God that has prevented you from becoming part of these solemn statistics. I might add that death isn't the end of it all either. Oh no. In Hebrews 9 and 27 we read that it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. So friend, please stay tuned to this gospel broadcast today to hear how you can be saved and born again this very hour. That is if you realize that you need a Savior. If you really believe that it was your sins that caused the Lord Jesus Christ to die on the old rugged cross, friend, then you are a candidate for God's salvation. But don't put it off. The day of God's grace is quickly drawing to a close. And friend, this might be the last gospel message ever to go forth. With that solemn thought in mind, let us listen to the first hymn today, and it's entitled, "Grace That Is Greater Than All Our Sins."
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace.
friends, I for one sure do thank God today for His grace that has been expressed in the death of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us ask God's blessing on the broadcast. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we bow our hearts in Thy presence today to thank Thee afresh for Thy beloved Son. We thank Thee, our God, for Thy grace and Thy love and Thy mercy expressed in Him and the shedding of His precious blood at the place called Calvary. We thank Thee, our God, it was grace that brought Him from heaven to earth. It was grace, our God, that caused Him to shed His precious blood, without which there could be no remission for sin. Lord, we thank Thee for extending the day of grace, so that we might have this blessed opportunity to tell forth the wonders of Thy love. Father, bless Thy word about to go forth. Bless wherever Christ is preached today, and crown this day of grace as well as this broadcast for the salvation of souls. We'll be careful to give Thee all the thanks, giving and praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, friends, before getting into the message today, let's listen to a lovely hymn entitled, Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Was grace that caused my heart to hear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious is that grace appeared, the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. His grace has brought me safe from far, and grace will keep me home. When we stand there, a thousand years, bright shining as the sun, we know that they will bring our grace, that grace we first begun. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
Now, friends, those of you who care to follow me in the Scriptures, I would direct your attention to Paul's writing to the assembly at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. Ephesians 1 and verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Back to chapter 2 again, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And the Lord will add His blessing to the reading of His word. Well, friends, the Apostle Paul here is writing to the saints in the assembly there at Ephesus, and I believe he sends one of his most encouraging letters to these people. Yes, the epistle to the Ephesians, I believe, is one of the most encouraging portions of the Word of God. Here the Apostle Paul reminds the assembly at Ephesus of their former condition, and then he presents to them their present standing in the sight of God. In chapter 2 and verse 1, he reminds them of how they were dead in trespasses and in sin. In chapter 2 and verse 12, he reminds them that they were without Christ, without hope, and without God in the world. Again, in chapter 2 and verse 13, he reminds them that regardless of their religious traditions and rituals, they were afar off. Now, friends, I think that it's a good idea for Christians to be reminded at times of what they were and where they were in God's sight before they were saved. But today, with the help of the Holy Spirit of God, I'd like to direct your attention to the spiritual characteristics of everyone who is truly born again through faith in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, first of all, in our first text, which we read together today, we see that a sinner is saved by grace. Yes, saved by grace alone. In Ephesians 2 and verse 8, the apostle declares, "For by grace are ye saved through faith." Now, sinner friend, I don't believe you'll find a more concise and more easily understood verse in all the Bible. It settles forever the divergent views of some people who claim that they can be saved by church membership or religious rituals such as baptism, or perhaps their morals, their ethics, culture, and education. No, my friend, God makes it quite clear that a sinner is saved by grace through faith plus nothing. And in verse 9 of Ephesians 2, we read that salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. Over in Titus 3 and verse 5, we read that a sinner is saved not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to God's mercy. So, friend, at the outset today, let me ask you, are you saved or are you lost? Are you a child of God or are you a child of wrath, a child of disobedience, a child of the devil? Tell me, friend, are you on your way to heaven or are you on your way to hell? Now, friend, these are solemn questions, and as you answer them in your heart today and before God, remember, this is eternity we're talking about, and your answer, given honestly, will cause you to know whether or not you're a child of God on your way to heaven or a child of the devil on your way to the pit. And, friend, remember this, destiny is determined by decision. If you're a child of God today listening in, you know when you were saved, you know where you were saved, and you know how you were saved. You may not recall anything about your physical birth, none of us do. But my friend, I want you to know, when you make the most important decision of your entire existence, you'll remember it. You'll remember being convicted of your need of Christ, and you'll remember trusting Him as your own and personal Savior. Now, friends, the grace of God was manifested in His well-beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 1 and verse 14, we read that He was the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Again, three verses later on, we read in verse 17 of John chapter 1 that the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And then regarding the incarnation, we read in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich." And friends, only the redeemed know anything about the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We should thank God afresh today that we are accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of His grace. Radio friend, if you're not saved by grace, then you're not saved at all. You're laboring under a false impression and devilish delusion if you expect to reach heaven by any means other than the grace of God. Paul told the Christians at Rome that they were justified freely by God's grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And in Romans 5 and 20, he declares that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So that's it, sinner friend. Salvation is all of God. Yes, salvation is of the Lord from beginning to end. And I praise God today because I am saved by His sovereign grace alone. And I might add that I don't claim to be any better than anyone listening to my voice today, because I'm only a sinner saved by grace. And all that I am, and all that I ever expect to be, I claim through faith in the blood of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Now friends, there's much more that can be said about a sinner being saved by grace. But let's look at our second scripture and read of another characteristic of a person who trusts the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. In Ephesians 1 and verse 13 we read that a sinner is not only saved by grace, but he is also sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. The Apostle Paul reminds the saints at Ephesus that after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now friends, you'll notice that the Holy Spirit of God is the one who puts His seal on the believer in Christ. It's not the priest or the preacher. No, it's not the church or denomination either. It's God Himself. Now as most of you know, a seal is a symbol. It's a symbol of a finished transaction for one thing. And that simply means that the work of redemption was completed by the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary's cross. In John 17 and verse 4, He declared, Father, I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest Me to do. Again, as He hung on the old rugged cross, He cried out at the end of His intense suffering, It is finished. Yes, it was all done. The holy, harmless, and undefiled Son of God was dying for His sinful creature, man. He was the Lamb of God taking away the sin of the world. He was the just one, dying for you and I the unjust, so that He might bring us back into a new and proper relationship with our Creator God. Friends, it's the Lord Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, being made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Yes, praise God, the Lord Jesus Christ finished the work to the complete satisfaction of His Father God. And Christian friends, because of our faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. Now friends, being sealed by the Holy Spirit also signifies ownership. Yes, ownership. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 19 we read that the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Here we're told that everyone who claims Christ is their Savior is not only sealed by the Holy Spirit, but they are also led by the Holy Spirit of God. In other words, the proof of their conversion is found in the fact that they have departed from iniquity. You know, some people have the idea that they can profess Jesus Christ one day and then live for the devil the next day. Friends, that's completely contrary to the Word of God. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17 we're told, Therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Sinner friend, if you really trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you will find that the Holy Spirit of God gives you spiritual strength as well as encouragement to do good instead of evil. You'll abhor sin, and it will be repulsive to you. Yes, you'll have a heartfelt desire to please your newfound Lord and Master, Jesus Christ. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and in verses 19 and 20, we read these words, What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Well, friend, the Word of God makes it quite clear that a sinner saved by grace is also sealed with the Holy Spirit. Now, this sealing with the Holy Spirit not only signifies a finished transaction and ownership, but it also guarantees the security of the believer. In Ephesians 4 and verse 30, Christians are exhorted to grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Well, thank God for this verse, because it only adds to emphasize the God-given truth that once saved, if saved, always saved. Yes, the truly born-again child of God is not only saved by grace, but he is also sealed by the Holy Spirit of God unto the day of final redemption. Sinner friend, when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you immediately become a possessor of eternal life. And you don't have to wait until you die to receive eternal life either. Oh no, every Christian listening in today has as much eternal life as they'll ever get. Friend, you're as sure of heaven as though you were already walking the street of gold. In John chapter 3 and verse 36, we have the promise that he that believeth on the Son hath, H-A-T-H, present tense, hath everlasting life. In John 6 and verse 47, the Lord Jesus Christ himself declares, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath, present tense, everlasting life. And in John chapter 10 and verse 28, the Lord Jesus Christ says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And finally, I think of those words of blessed assurance over in 1 John chapter 5, beginning at verse 11. Listen to this, sinner friend. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Did you notice, my friends, that God didn't say, or he didn't tell us to hope for eternal life? No, he said that ye may know that ye already have eternal life. Well, what more can be added to that? The Word of God is quite clear. Once saved, if truly saved, always saved. And I trust that if there are any listening today who believe that a person can be saved one day and lost the next, friend, bow to the Word of God and enjoy your salvation. Live a Christ-filled life. Yes, an abundant life. And don't worry about falling out of grace. In 1 Peter 1 and 5, we're told that the Christian is kept by the power of God. Yes, the God that is great enough to save is also great enough to keep his own. Now, friends, up until now, I've been bringing before you the facts that a sinner who accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior is saved by grace and sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, let's look at our final scripture text for today. Ephesians 2 and verse 6, there we read that God has raised the sinner up to the position of sitting in the heavenlies with Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Well, praise God for this promise too. Here God declares that as far as he is concerned, we are already, spiritually speaking, sitting in the heavenlies with Christ Jesus. Now you might ask, well, how can God do that? Friends, as God in heaven looks down upon the Christian today, he sees him in the perfection and beauty of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Over in Romans 8 and verse 17, God declares that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Now I realize that this truth is a little difficult for the sinner to grasp. But friends, it's a promise of God, and he declares that the sinner saved by grace and sealed with the Holy Spirit is also seated with Christ. In other words, we are justified in the sight of God. In Romans 5 and 1 we read, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, as you listen to this voice of the gospel broadcast today, can you honestly say that you have peace with God? Do you have real joy in your heart and soul as well as peace of mind. Well, friend, in Colossians 1 and 20, we read that the Lord Jesus Christ made peace through the blood of His cross. Yes, during those three terrible hours of darkness, as He hung on the old rugged cross, He was bearing your sins and my sins away in His own body on the tree. He was restoring that which He took not away. Yes, He was bringing man back to God. And friends, the man or woman, boy or girl, who is saved by sovereign grace alone, is at peace with God today. They are justified in God's sight, and they'll never have to suffer for their sin because someone else has done it for them. And that someone else is none other than the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, we read that God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Well, that's it, sinner friend. That's what it means to be saved. You're not only saved from a life of sin, but you're also saved from the wrath to come. And furthermore, when a person trusts the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, they are not only saved from the power and penalty of sin, but they can also look forward to the time when they shall also be delivered from the very presence of sin. Because, my friend, one of these days, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come and take His redeemed ones home to heaven to be with Him. And friends, if you're not ready when He comes, or if you die without being saved or born again through faith in Christ, then it will mean hell and the lake of fire throughout the countless ages of all eternity. So, sinner friend, right now, whoever you are and wherever you may be, just acknowledge that you're a lost, guilty, and hell-deserving sinner in God's sight. Acknowledge you can't do a thing to save your own soul. Repent of your sin and simply place your faith and trust in the blood of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to cleanse you from all sin. Yes, with all your heart today, my friend, wherever you are, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. And friend, if you do, according to God who cannot lie, you'll be saved by grace. You'll be sealed with the Holy Spirit of God, and you'll be seated in the heavenlies with Christ. And friend, you'll be saved for all eternity. Yes, and remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we bow in Thy presence today to thank Thee again for Thy Son. We thank Thee for the grace that brought Him from heaven to earth to die on the cross for our sins. We thank Thee, our God, that this man, after He'd offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And we thank Thee that one of these days He's going to come to the air to claim from the earth His own. We thank Thee, our God, for salvation by grace alone, and pray Thy blessing upon Thy word wherever Christ is preached. Save souls to His honor and glory alone, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. If I can be of any further help in pointing you as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'll be only too happy to do so. Address all letters of inquiry and other correspondence to the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania. And that zip code is 15134. And now to our next broadcast, Lord willing, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.